Israel Report with Rolene Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Rolene Marks, how are you?
I'm good, thanks, and you?
Not at all bad. So you're heading in to autumn in Israel. We're heading in. We are smack in the middle of summer. It's got that Israeli heat here, that feeling here in Johannesburg. But yep, hopefully it'll cool down a little bit more tonight. Where it's not cooling down is in the region. The Saudis seem to be wooing the Palestinians because they want them to join this anti-Iran coalition. And we know that this follows this alleged Hezbollah attack on Riyadh. Things seem to be getting a little heated up despite the weather.
Well, the weather to me is bloody frightening. I'm sitting here shivering at my desk, but with a warm heart because I'm speaking to you on Chai FM.
Brilliant.
But yeah, you know, I'm honestly of the opinion that they listen to us, Howard, because it seems that we are moving towards something big, which is of serious concern to all of us in the region. And Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas made a very, very sudden and unscheduled visit to Saudi Arabia on Monday at the request of Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. And a lot of us reckon that he is now kind of being forced to take a position on where he stands with regards to Iran and the regional kind of turmoil that is happening. And, you know, it's not just the Saudis that are putting on the pressure. It's the Americans as well. It's the Egyptians. It's us in Israel, because we won't negotiate any kind of peace deal with an element in the government that supports Iran and that is backed by Iran. So in other words, for Abbas to truly show what he's made of and to truly show some kind of leadership, he's going to have to choose between the street and his new alliance with the Iranian-backed Hamas, and choose with the rest of us who are now kind of forming some kind of loose coalition against Iran.
So paint a picture for me. There's obviously on the one side we've got Iran, we've got Hezbollah. We've possibly got some kind of a Russian thing happening there. We don't really know where they stand. On the other side of this, you've got Israel, you've got the United States, you've got Saudi Arabia.
You've got many of the Gulf countries.
Ah, okay. So you've got quite a lot of Yemen sits on the.
And you've got Qatar, who are sitting firmly in the camp of Iran.
Oh, okay. So on the Iran side, we've got Qatar. Do we have Yemen? Do I hear Yemen?
I don't think we have a taker for Yemen yet. The big concern with Yemen is that it was easy to fire a rocket, Hezbollah using their cells in Yemen towards Saudi Arabia.
Right, okay.
Riyadh.
So that was my confusion, because the I know that the rocket came from Yemen. So what you're saying, that's more about geography and the fact that it's not particularly secured, not indicative of the fact that Yemen supports Hezbollah and Iran. Is that correct?
But also the Houthis in Yemen are backed by Hezbollah, or are supported by Hezbollah, and probably by, you know, if we do the math, probably the Iranians as well.
Okay, so just as you think you understand it, you don't. Who is sitting on the other side? You were saying we've got a couple of the Gulf states, we've got Saudi Arabia, we've got Israel, we've got obviously the United States. In support of the anti-Iran coalition,
and we've got you know the Gulf states who are there as well, and one of the concerns that the Saudis expressed to President Abbas is that they don't want to see what they call another Hezbollah entity in the Gaza Strip. And they want that if Abbas wants to be the legitimate leader of the Palestinians, he needs to kind of think very, very carefully where he stands with Hamas, because they don't recognize Hamas as representative of Palestinian, in their words, legitimacy.
Right. Absolutely riveting.
Also, can I throw one more spanner in there?
Sure.
One more spanner. You know, Israel's detractors speak all of the time about the situation that the Palestinians live under. And last week, when we saw the EFF marching on the Israeli embassy in Pretoria, you and I were speaking about the some of the conditions for other peoples around the world, and we actually brought up the issue of Palestinians and how they are still living in refugee camps in Lebanon. And now what the Saudis are looking to do is that they are trying to kind of maybe schmooze is the word, maybe recruit is the word, maybe lobby is the word, the nearly or more than 300,000 Palestinians that still live in Lebanese refugee camps. They are trying to kind of woo them that should there be some kind of conflict, that they will follow the side of the Saudis and not the side of Hezbollah.
But, yeah, indeed, although anyone living in a refugee camp and that hasn't been absorbed by the local country, I can't imagine, has a very, very positive attitude towards towards the establishment. But that's quite a simplistic view. I accept that. So very, very complicated and a very, very dangerous situation developing in the Middle East. It is not a it's certainly a rough neighborhood, and we certainly will keep an eye on that. In a week where the UN Human Rights Council debates Israeli women's exclusion from society, Israeli Air Force has promoted its first female deputy commander in a combat squadron.
I mean, clearly they did not get the memo that the UNHRC has, that it is the exclusion of Israeli women from society week. Not only do we see this incredible promotion within the Israeli Air Force, but there are two other women who have been promoted to leadership positions within units that take care of unmanned aerial vehicles, or UAVs, as they are more commonly known as. So obviously there seems to be a miscommunication here, Howard. You know, there are so many conflicts around the world. And if we want to focus on gender issues, we only need to look around the neighborhood that Israel is in to understand that there are women who desperately need the attention by the United Nations Human Rights Council a lot more than their Israeli counterparts. Are there issues still within Israeli society where women are excluded? Yes, there are certain elements of Israeli society. We have discussed them at length. And you know, are they state based, or are they more communal based? And to me, the answer to that is it's more communal or more religious based than it is state based. Well, but speaking as an Israeli woman who can vote, own property, run a business, and as you know, I'm not short of an opinion or two.
Yes. In fact, Rolene, I'm actually going to interrupt you for some breaking news, and it's actually on the subject. Sasha Starr's looking at me and saying, why haven't I included that in my news? Because you don't know, Sasha, I haven't yet told you that Wonder Woman was just voted the greatest superhero movie of all time. Wonder Woman, which stars Israeli actress Gal Gadot, scored the number one spot on the Rotten Tomatoes 50 Best Superheroes Movies of All Times, listed earlier today. The film beat out box office blockbusters The Dark Knight and Spider-Man. How is that?
Well, that just goes to show you, and Gal Gadot is the creme de la creme of Israeli women. And yes, she's absolutely gorgeous,
which helps.
She was a combat instructor. She served in the army. She went to university because, you know, according to the UNHRC, we were so excluded from most places in Israeli society. She is free to make whatever choices she wants to make. She has firmly put being Israeli, being proud, being proudly Jewish, standing up for who you are, on the international firmly on the agenda of international women. She really has represented Israel exemplary, while her fame continues to grow. And long may she flourish.
Absolutely, absolutely right. Novel, that's such a great story. Another very positive story, unfortunately, not for the people of the island, but from an Israel perspective, Israel is sending help to Madagascar. We've been following the story with the Black Death having its strongest resurgence in Madagascar in 50 years. Israel's helping. What are they doing?
Well, it's quite heartbreakingly to see that the plague has resurfaced. And, if detected early enough, and this is a very important fact that people must know, because I know South Africa has also been identified as a country that is vulnerable to resurgence of the Black Death or the Black Plague. If caught early enough, it can be 100% cured. Mm. But what we do know so far is that 1,800 people at least have died in or have been infected with the disease, in Madagascar, and about 120 to 130 have passed away. And Israeli assistance has come through with thanks to the Israeli Foreign Ministry and Magen David Adom. And I know that our own embassy in South Africa has been involved in helping to facilitate the aid getting to Madagascar. And I think it's Ayelet Black, who's the deputy ambassador, has been quoted as saying that they expect all packages to be delivered to the International Red Cross in Madagascar in the next few days. And Israel has sent medical equipment, such as gloves, to carry out medical procedures. And this has been coordinated between the Israel's Honorary Consul in Madagascar and Madagascar's Bureau for Natural Disasters. And, you know, you can just add Madagascar to the list of countries that Israel proudly serves in their time and need, whether it be a medical disaster or a natural disaster or any kind of disaster. We are always there to help, to lend a helping hand, to send aid, and sometimes to send our very, very best NGOs like Israel Aid or Flying Israel to help out.
Absolutely right, in a terrible situation that very unfortunate that Israel needs to do this, but superb and unsurprising that they do. Finally, Boy George rocks Tel Aviv. Gosh, do they bring him on
a Zimmer frame? Outfit that Boy George was wearing. Mm-hmm. I can only describe it as a black onesie with neon glow Magen David all over it.
Oh gosh, that doesn't sound attractive, really.
it may not be attractive. Look, you change into another one which was covered in lobsters. Not very kosher, I must just add.
Yes.
But Boy George, who's an absolute icon. I mean, I watched him recently on The Celebrity Apprentice. Was actually quite fascinated with what he's like in a business.
What was he like in that environment? It's so interesting because
extremely creative, very, very, very pedantic, very, very entertaining, and extremely focused. In fact, he made it to the finale.
Very, very interesting because, you know, I have this vision of Boy George in the 80s and 90s, and I wouldn't have pictured him in that role. I can more easily picture him in a sequined onesie with Magen David on it. That's kind of how I would picture him, in big glasses or something.
Well, he was quite extraordinary last night. He rocked Tel Aviv.
Amazing.
He actually kicked off his world tour from Tel Aviv. He said, you know, that he – well, I can't repeat it on, you know, family radio, but he said that many tried to tell him not to come. He said, and in fact, one of the members of our band refused to come because of all the pressure not to come to Israel. But he says he loves the vibe here. He says it's a crazy vibe. It's tons of fun. He says he's 56. Years old. He's a lot smarter than he was before, and nobody's going to tell him where to go. He goes wherever he wants to. And
Boy George. Yep, absolutely amazing.
Yes, and he says, and I'm going to quote him directly, but just minus a few words. He says, whenever I go to Israel, people always say, don't go there, don't go. This is George. Beep off. I go where I like.
Absolutely.
And that he absolutely
amazing.
Loves it here in Israel. And you know what? We love him too. You know, I can't really comment on perhaps the singing out of key and out of tune and with incredibly entertaining accents from my fellow countrymen, but they certainly enjoyed it. He played a lot of the classics. He played a new song called Resting Bitch Face, which I'm dying to hear, and some old nostalgic music.
Comma Chameleon, I would imagine. That was his incredible, absolutely incredible that he's in Israel. In fact, what we should do towards the end of the year is just make a list of all of the celebrities that have been to Israel this year, because it is a very long and auspicious list, isn't it?
Well, on that list, two things. First of all, Nick Cave of Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds is under a lot of pressure by BDS, who seem to be tweeting him all day. So I want anybody who's got access to their Twitter accounts or to Twitter right now to go to @NickCave, NickCave, and tweet him how wonderful Israel is and that you cannot wait to welcome him to Israel. Everybody do that. That is your homework from Rolene on the Israel Report. That is my mission to you, should you choose to accept it, is to tell Nick Cave how wonderful Israel is. He also wants to start his world tour. I mean, I think it's quite phenomenal that these big acts are choosing Israel as the kicking off point for their global tours. The second thing is Morrissey. Now, I don't know if it might give my age away. You know, children of the 80s, 90s who grew up with Morrissey and the Smiths might be familiar with his kind of very eclectic style of music. But Morrissey was recently in Tel Aviv. He has got himself a great big tattoo that says Israel. But not only that, Morrissey has written two songs about Israel. The one song called Israel openly takes any kind of our critics to task. He says that they do so because they're jealous of the country. And I'll read to you from the song. He says, in other climes, they bitch and whine just because you're not like them. Israel, Israel. And they who rain abuse upon you, they are jealous of you as well. So there you go. You've heard it from Morrissey. But not only has he written a song called Israel with a glowing chorus, Israel, Israel, but he's also written a song called The Girl from Tel Aviv Who Wouldn't Kneel. And it's basically based on a theatrical production based on the diaries of Etty Hillesum, who was murdered in Auschwitz in 1943.
Wow.
And one of the times that he was in concert in Israel, he draped himself in an Israeli flag. And he's known to end off his shows with God Bless Israel, and he told Tel Aviv's mayor Ron Huldah that he is a small face of Tel Aviv and he's very happy to represent with integrity and loyalty.
Absolutely incredible. It's 5:55. That's where we leave it. That was Rolene Marks with the Israel Report, brought to you by the Blue Agency. We're going to chat to Rolene same time, same place tomorrow.